This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you joined me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guests for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook. Do you wish your kids ate better? It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got two great women today. They are both passionate about changing the health of our children and their families and educating them on what they can do to make a difference in their health. First, we'll be talking with Camille Davis about the challenge of food deserts and what she's doing in her community to help families eat better. And in the second half of our show, we'll talk with Patricia Schoenfeld, a teacher that is getting her entire school and community involved in healthier eating. You'll want to stay tuned for the whole show and listen to these amazing women and what they're doing. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. I'm really excited about our conversation with Camille Davis. Camille is passionate about children's health education, and as you'll hear from her, she is in her community helping children learn about healthy eating and growing their own food. Camille is a recent graduate of the College of William and Mary with a degree in developmental psychology. She is the Community Connections Chair for the United Way Young Leaders Society and serves as the chapter leader for the Virginia Organizing Campaign on Food Deserts. Camille got firsthand experience helping children and families eat healthier when she worked in Haiti on a sustainable farming program, and now she brings that knowledge to her community where she's helping them establish a neighborhood food garden. Welcome to the show, Camille.
Hi, Janelle. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about our conversation today, and it's really different than any of the conversations we've had. And I'd love to have you start out by just sharing with our listeners a little bit more about your background and how you got interested in teaching children about healthy eating.
Absolutely, Jenna. I would love to share that with you all. Actually, I grew up and my family was in the military, so we traveled around a lot, but my mother always had a garden wherever we lived, and so she was a gardener by trade. So ever since I was a little girl, my mother encouraged us to eat healthy, and she taught us how to plant our own food right in our own backyard. So we did have our own garden and planted our own crops, and I've always enjoyed eating healthy. Even through adulthood. Well, in the winter of about 2014, a close friend introduced me to the Virginia Organizing Committee in my family's hometown of Petersburg, Virginia. And it's here where I learned about the food desert issue that was going on in my community. A little bit later in the spring of this year, I was presented with the opportunity to travel to Haiti and teach English as a second language at the Unity Bridge School at Lighthouse Lands. And they were in need of a teacher, and they also had a sustainable farming program that they needed volunteers for. So I gladly volunteered for that opportunity, and farming was something that I knew about. So I jumped on that, and now I incorporate healthy eating into my lifestyle, and I also encourage the children that I teach to do the same.
I love that you took something that you remember from your childhood and now use that as an adult. I think one of the things we often forget as parents, as adult role models, is the things that we expose our children to really have a big impact on what they do when they grow up.
Absolutely. It really does have a big impact. I mean, I can remember, you know, being little and my mom making sure that we had vegetables in our food every day. It was something fresh. And I'm grateful for her doing that, even though I was like, I don't want that squash, Mom. But now I'm grateful because I see, you know, some parents that aren't able to provide the fresh food items for their children, and now all they live on is processed foods. And, you know, it really does have that direct impact. It's that nature versus nurture aspect in psychology that we talk about. And nurture is definitely a big influence on how we eat.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to expose your children and any children that you're around to different foods, to the colors, to the texture, to the different ways that they taste. And I love the fact that they can go out and look at the vegetables or the fruit, and they can pick it and they can take it in and cut it and taste it and really get a whole experience, because there's so much more than just going and grabbing a bag of chips or grabbing something in a fast food store. I think it's fun for them to see where their food comes from and what it can turn into.
Yes, it really is fun, and it allows them to explore their creativity as well. So it's a win-win situation there.
It is. I know my youngest grandson especially loves going out in the backyard, although he drives his mom crazy sometimes, because he'll go out and he'll pick the lemons off the tree, or he'll pick the strawberries or all the little tomatoes, and she'll think she can go out and get something for dinner and it's gone because he's eaten it all. But he loves that. Can you explain the term food desert? Some of our listeners may not be familiar with that, so it would be great if you could just explain a little bit more about what that means.
Yes, well, I would love to share. This is actually something that I recently learned about, but a food desert is a part of the country where fresh fruit, vegetables, or other healthy foods are not readily available. So there are should be in each community a certain amount of supermarkets per mile in order to provide food, but in a food desert, there are less than adequate amount of grocery stores, farmers markets, and supermarket and healthy food providers, so that leaves them with a lack of healthy food. So many food deserts typically have something quick and convenient, such as a quickie mart, bodega, or fast food restaurant, if you will. And the food choices are processed rather than natural. Many of them contain the added sugar, fat, and salt with the preservatives, and they are contributors to obesity and heart disease. And so that is what a food desert is. It's an area that has a lack of access to healthy, fresh food.
So talk a little bit more about what you're doing to help change that so people have access to more fresh fruits and vegetables.
Definitely, Janelle. This is a project that we are working on for the campaign for the Virginia Organizing Committee, and we are a grassroots organization, so we are starting from the ground up on this project. We're going into our community. We're even going door to door to find out what the citizens of the community would like to see in their neighborhood. So we're going door to door and finding out what type of vegetables they like and what do they most cook with. And then we are returning that information. We're actually working with the Virginia State University Agricultural Department. They've received a grant to build an indoor farm, which is very high-tech. It has hydroponics and all kinds of solar-powered equipment to make sure we can plant this food all year round. Instead of having to worry about the conditions from the weather, we can control the environment and provide food all year round for our community. So we're going to be taking that food and going into mini marts and providing them with that fresh food that they need in those areas that do not have those supermarkets. And in the long term, we do hope to be able to provide actual supermarkets in those areas that they are lacking.
Well, and I imagine in an area like where your project is in Petersburg, Virginia, where you've got the cold and you have the extremes in the weather, being able to have something that's protected probably makes it nice because you probably can really expand the growing season.
Oh, yes. It's amazing what you can do in an area where you can control everything. It's like, wow, you know, the sky is the limit here. It truly is. So we are pleased to have this. This is new technology, and we're one of the first to get access to this in our area. So we are excited about that.
What kind of challenges do you have when you go ask people what kind of vegetables they like or how they use them, especially when they haven't been used to getting access to a lot of fresh produce? Is it hard to have a conversation with them on what they like or get them to really see the variety of what's available to them?
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of people typically, depending on where you're from, shift towards foods that they already know. So, for example, you know, we in this area where we live, typical things might be string beans, tomatoes, corn, and then are your typical greens or collard greens, and that is a, you know, staple for this area. But if we were to say, how about this summer squash, or how about this green kale, you know, somebody might say, well, what is that? Or how do you cook it? So actually what we're going to be doing in our indoor farm, we're going to be doing culinary arts training and cooking programs, and we're going to be doing food education. And so we'll be teaching people how to utilize brand new fruits or vegetables that they've never seen before, because the majority of the population that doesn't know what it is, they will not buy it. So we want to broaden their horizons and learn about all kinds of different things, not just the ones that, you know, they kind of grew up on that's a staple crop, but really broadening their, I guess, food intelligence, that we'll call it.
You know, I would bet that there are a lot of people actually that could use that kind of education, even people that have access to it at the store. You know, I watch people when I'm shopping, and it's interesting because they tend to go towards the things that they're really familiar with in most stores. Now, if you go to a real specialized store that's all whole, you know, healthy, organic food, then it's different because you tend to get people that are a little bit more educated on variety of food. But when you go to a typical supermarket, they tend to stay with, you know, the basics, the apples and the oranges, the tomatoes, the regular lettuce, the unusual things or things that probably even are more healthy, they're not gravitating towards because they're not used to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think you're right. I think that could be beneficial in many areas. And so more people would learn more about different regions of the country. If we're doing like exporting or importing from other parts of the world. But then also areas, you know, we want to support our locally grown crops, and that actually influences our community and our consumerism. And we really want to elevate that in our area because it is a high poverty area here, and our unfortunately, the community definitely is underserved as far as jobs, and so we hope to also provide jobs and create jobs, actually, by bringing these new farming techniques into our area. So many opportunities for new jobs. Yeah.
We're going to have to watch how that comes together, because I think it's going to be an opportunity for a lot of education. And also, isn't the building that you're going to be using or using, isn't that something that's being repurposed?
It is. It actually is a Harding Street. It used to be the recreation center. And my grandmother, who is almost 70 years old, can remember when she was a young girl going there in the old YMCA building and playing there. And now it has become an indoor farm. So that is really cool to see the transformation from two generations ago till now. That is just amazing to see it still there.
How fun. It's always great when you can repurpose and do something. We need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you and have you share your big why you really are helping get the message out there. And then talk a little bit about your trip to Haiti and how that influenced what you're doing. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and our first guest today is Camille Davis. And before the break, we were talking about food deserts and what that is. So if you missed it, be sure to go back and listen to that. And Camille, I love to ask my guests what motivates them to live healthy and to share their message about healthy living. We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life?
Good question, Janelle. Well, I definitely have many whys. My biggest why, of course, would be my health and my longevity. I believe that we have a gift to share with the world, and the longer we're able to be here to share that, I think we can make an even bigger impact on the world. So that is something that I really take notice of. I want to be able to perform at the top at my optimal capability mentally, physically, and spiritually. So if I'm off, then my performance suffers, and I hate for that to happen, so I definitely want to take care of myself. But I also have another why. And even though I grew up and my mother showed us how to eat healthy and eat well, when I went to college, as many people know, it is a high-stress time, and many college students put on a lot of weight during this time, and also includes a time of depression and emotional turmoil. And so during this time, I actually gained that freshman 15, and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, boy, I'm just not happy. This isn't who I'm used to being. And my physical appearance is definitely something important to me, and it helps me to have my confidence built, and I love maintaining a healthy physique, and it makes me feel happy on the inside and out. And it just shows that I'm confident and comfortable in my own skin. So those are really my two big whys, looking great and feeling great and performing to the best of my ability.
I love that. And I think it's important for everyone to feel confident and really feel good about how they look, wherever that is for them.
Yes, it's definitely true. People will see you, and from the moment they see you, they know something about you just from the way you show up in life. And if you're showing up and your confidence isn't exuding, they, you know, unfortunately, you may or may not get ahead. And so by performing and showing up as the true confident you, it just makes it a better way to reach more people with your message.
I absolutely agree. The confidence is very important. And we've talked about that recently on a number of our interviews with guests who really specialize in that. It's so important. You know, I'd love to shift just a little bit and ask you, what convinced you to take the big step to head to Haiti to do the missions work that you did, and how did that impact the project that you're working on now and what you're doing?
Well, good question, Janelle. I can remember, you know, a number of years ago saying, I don't think I'll ever go to a third world country. But, you know, something inside of me changed. It was like a light switch went off, and I just realized how blessed I truly was. I realized how much more we have, especially as Americans, than the rest of the world. We live so much better than the rest of the world, but yet our diet is lacking and our health is failing us. And so I noticed that there was an opportunity to share that abundance with the world of our talents and the gifts and abilities. And so I can remember one day being on Facebook, and I saw this SOS call. And I had been actually looking to go into the Peace Corps and other organizations that I could go and serve. And I saw this SOS call, and it was like it said, SOS Camille. And it was almost calling my name. And it was the Lighthouse Lands nonprofit organization, and they were looking for a teacher to go and work with children at the Unity Bridge School in Haiti. And since I've already been teaching children's ministry, I have a heart for children and I have a heart for teaching. And so I immediately called and I said, I'm here, I'm available, when do you need me? And they said, in about a month. And so the great thing was I was able to raise the money and go immediately out there. And not only did I get to visit the school and the children there, we also went on the farm. And they do have a farming program that teaches the women how to grow and sell their own crops. So not only are they providing food for the household, they're providing income for themselves by growing their food and doing trade. And they also have other programs like teaching them how to sew their own clothes and buy them. And it's just a great, great program that is really teaching the importance of growing your own food locally, and especially in an area like that, which is impoverished, and, you know, the access is, you know, there's limited electricity, if they even have it at all. And so growing their own food is a big, huge part of their day-to-day life. So that is really why I decided to go and make a difference, help make a difference.
I love that. And how do you see the Food Desert Campaign transforming your community?
Well, Janelle, I think that by incorporating what I've learned from the food desert and from Haiti, I can see just the same as how the people in Haiti can grow their own food and sell it. It can be transferred into the community where I live, where the community is lacking as far as economically. We want to incorporate new jobs. We also want to encourage people to eat healthier, which is going to contribute to health. And a healthier community is a better and more productive community, and increases the intelligence and really uprising the population as a whole. And not only will it affect the people that are already here, which is great for treatment, but prevention, an ounce of, I believe the quote is, an ounce of prevention is better than a dose of treatment. So if we can go in and show the children how to grow their own food and eat healthy at an early age, can you just imagine what our community is going to be like 10 to 20 years from now? I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. And I think it's also a great opportunity for parents and children, or adults and children. When I say parents, I think adults, whether they have their own children that they influence or not, I think that they influence the children they're around. And I think it's a great way to spend more time together learning something. I know when our grandkids are out with us in the garden and we're getting it ready to plant, or we're planting, or we're picking things out of the garden, it's just really a great time to have some good conversations and to have some quality time unplugged with family and together. I think there's just so many ways that it offers so much value.
It does. It really does.
You know, your work with kids and families is just wonderful. I love the way you're doing it, and I love to see more young people start to take, a more proactive approach with that, because it's those habits that we make in childhood and those memories that we have that really guide our choices and our decisions and what we do as adults. Can you tell us how people can get more information about food deserts and maybe how they can learn more about educating themselves and their communities on eating healthy and how they can connect with you if they'd like to learn more?
Absolutely, Janelle, and there's quite a few ways that we can accomplish this. If you want to learn more about the Food Desert Campaign, there is a great documentary that was published right from our own Virginia State University Agricultural Department, and it is on food deserts. So either you can go to YouTube and visit that, just type in food desert, and it will come up right there for you. And then you can also see some videos on YouTube as well of me in Haiti with the children right on the farm and in the school. So if you want to check out my YouTube channel, you can do that as well. And that is, you can just type in my name, Camille Davis, and that will come up. You can also find me on Facebook, and I'll spell my name just in case you're wondering how it's spelled. It's C-A-M-I-L Davis. And you can find me there, and I also have some videos and information and also my email, and I'll get you that in as well. But the biggest thing that I did want to share is also a GoFundMe campaign that I am currently working on. We want to go back into the community in Jeremy, Haiti, and continue helping this farming program. And so we are looking to raise $50,000 towards this campaign. So we've set up a GoFundMe account, and we're looking for people that would like to contribute. So you would just go on to www.gofundme.com/raisetherooftheHaiti, and you can donate there, and that is for that program. And then we're also, if you want to learn more about the Food Desert Campaign in Petersburg, you can visit our www.virginia-organizing.org, and that is how you access the Food Desert Campaign. And finally, if you want to talk to me, you can email me at davis.camil, so davis.camille@gmail.com. So many ways you can find out.
Perfect. So you're doing so many amazing things, and we'll have a link for people to connect with you with our interview, so they'll be able to get you there on the eatgreatlivewellradio.com website too, so they'll be able to get to you from there. But thank you so much for taking the time and having this conversation with us. I think it's great to share different ways and things that are going on so that people can learn how, even if they don't have things available to them, they can always be proactive, and there's always opportunities and answers. You just have to ask the right questions. So thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome, Janelle. Oh, and if I might, I don't know if I have another quick second, I have another great way to contact and find out more about healthy eating. We actually have another eWomen Network sister, and she has an author of a book called Eating Healthy on the Go. And that book is being sold through our website, and it is www.boundsandcrownsbookclub.com. And you can find that through my Facebook page as well, and that book is the actual ebook online, and you all can get that if you want to find out how you can eat healthy on the go and just definitely change the way you're eating. So it's a great tool to have in your pocket.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And again, thank you very much for joining us, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Patricia Schoenfeld. She has an amazing story, and you won't want to miss a minute of it. So stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Our second guest on today's show is Patricia Schoenfeld. Patricia is an elementary school teacher with more than 18 years of experience, and she's really taken the idea of making a difference in the lives of her students to a whole new level. 2 years ago, with many of her students in her school overweight and out of shape, Tricia started a running program to help get them moving. From its humble beginnings with just a handful of students, it's taken on a life of its own, growing into a school-wide program with students logging more than 19,000 total miles last year. This year, Tricia has turned her attention to the food that her students eat, and she's been awarded multiple grants to help fund and educate her students and help turn unused planters at her school into student-tended vegetable gardens. She's teaching her students how to grow their own food as well as healthy habits that they can build, and her students love it. They're getting education and learning how to eat healthy. I know you'll be inspired by today's conversation. Welcome to the show, Tricia.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I'm really excited about this conversation, and I'd love to have you share what really inspired you to take such an active role in promoting a healthy lifestyle for your students.
I have to tell you that one of the main reasons, I think, myself having a lot of energy and wanting to be active, not being able to sit very long, is really working with my students and teaching them ways of being healthy. One thing I'm really striving for this year is the topic of growing healthy students 1 mile at a time, and not only growing my students, but growing the community and bringing the community and the parents into the picture and basically giving the campus back to the community.
I love that, growing health 1 mile at a time and giving the school back to the community. Because I think a lot of schools tend to, you know, parents think they can send their kids to school and then they don't have to do anything. But it really is a community effort.
I definitely agree with that. And that is, you know, I've been working on the students the last couple of years. And that really is my main goal this year, not only continuing what I'm doing with the students, but again, bringing the community, because of the culture and the expectations of school, really making them understand that it's not just about the students, it's about the connection between the family and the students.
Well, and you know that I love that, and that's so important. And I'd love to ask you to share your big why. And I'm going to tell our listeners that you are my baby sister. But I think this is such an amazing message that I'm so excited that we finally got an opportunity to share it. But I'd love you to share your big why from your perspective. Why do you want to live healthier, and why are you so passionate about sharing this with others?
Well, being one of your baby sisters, really sharing some of the expertise and the knowledge that I have, coming from a large family, having a father who had a heart attack and passed away at what I consider to be a very young age, really trying to share with them the knowledge that I have. And it really does start at a young age. And I love elementary school. I love working with the students. And I'm not only teaching within my classroom, but I am really working with the entire student population. And they know who I am, and they know what I do. And they're all ready to get going again into our third year of this program. So really one step at a time, and from my humble beginnings until now, it is really taking on a life of its own. And I expect it just to grow stronger and healthier. And I think these students will come back to me later on, and families will come back to me later on and thank me for the knowledge that I've given them and that we've given them as a staff.
No, that's, I really believe that. And the thing that's really makes part of what you're doing so unique is that you're teaching in an area that's not well off financially. So healthy eating is not normal. And I know a lot of your families, a lot of the parents really need to be educated. And I love the fact that with your running and what you're doing and some of the money that you've raised, you're getting families doing running and doing 5Ks, which is really making it a family affair.
It really is. And that is a part of one of my grants this year. And that not only having the students run, but part of my grant this year is helping families go on those 5Ks with the students. And it's really interesting to see them taking a part in what's going on. And not only, I'm finding that not only is it going to affect my school and my community, but what we're doing is then reaching out into the entire Coachella Valley. And students are, you know, able to take pride in what they do when people are coming and saying, oh, you know, they're getting ready to do this run or they're participating. And it really is ownership, and they really are enjoying the recognition with what they're doing as a small community, and then looking out at the bigger picture. And the families, again, I want the families to take ownership, and I want them to be a part of what's turning into, for me and to the community, really an incredible journey.
Absolutely. And I'd love to have you share just a little bit about some of the changes you've seen in the students now that they're kind of burning off some of their excess energy and they're starting to eat better and really focus on, you know, learning when they're hungry and making sure they're drinking enough water. And then also share, have you seen any changes in the family dynamics or the engagement of the parents in what the kids are doing?
I really do. One of the really funny things is this year is out of the gate, we started back to school 2 weeks ago, and the students have already been asking me about when we start running again. And living in the Coachella Valley, we're looking at 110, 115 degree weather, and they're all, their big thing is, when do we get to start? When do we get to start? Even our After School ACES program, which takes their students out on Fridays, you know, when do we get to start? And really the big changes and the big things that I've seen, improved behavior with the students. You know, they're looking for that positive recognition. And sometimes you do have those students that, you know, really have a struggle with academics. We are 90% plus Hispanic, 90% plus free and reduced lunch. And we have students that struggle with the academics, especially with all the changes in education going on right now. I have those students that are looking for that positive recognition. They can run, they can get out, and they can do the exercising. And they are seeing a difference than in the classroom with what they're doing. So it's creating a much more positive atmosphere. I think I've seen more parents on campus this year than I've seen in the past. And we do have, last year we did get a new principal. So, you know, that's been some of the change that's gone on as well. But, you know, student responsibility and basically taking responsibility for their actions and wanting to be a part of, again, what's going on at our campus, which is, you know, wonderful all around. So, again, that positive recognition, not only in the classrooms, out of the classrooms, but just as a community.
It'll be interesting to see. I know one thing they always talk about with students is test scores. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact getting the kids to do more physical exercise will impact that, because I know that we've the schools have changed so much where they don't have, when you and I went to school, we had PE for, you know, 45 to 60 minutes every single day without fail. And now the kids just don't get that kind of structured activity.
That is true. And one thing that's gone on in California recently is we are required to, for example, in fifth grade, we're required to have the kids having PE 200 minutes every 10 days of instruction. And we've gone a step beyond with that. My students get PE for 40 minutes 3 days a week. We are also taking the students out to run laps between our ELD and our language arts time. We are bringing programs into the classroom and having the students move during class time, which is Go Noodle. We are really trying to do everything that we can to get the students moving. I even contacted a company this summer after I read an article, and Ergotron was gracious enough to send me to let me try out two desks for my classroom, and they're basically stand-up desks. And then I also ordered some small ones that sit on top of my desks that don't have wheels and don't move. And I'm finding in the last 2 weeks, the one stand-up desk that the students have access to, I'm trying out the other one. I don't think there's really ever a time that that desk is not being, someone's not standing at that desk wanting to get up and move. And that's really what a lot of the kids need, but they're not getting on a regular basis. They go home and they sit down and they're playing games or they're watching TV and doing things like that, and really just changing the attitude and having the kids up and moving on a regular basis. And I even in my class am noticing, not only on campus seeing a difference, but in my class really seeing how they're reacting to it. And being one myself that cannot sit for very long, I'm appreciating what they're going through, and I can feel their anguish at times when they are having to sit for an extended period of time without being active.
Well, I think kids do need to get up and physically move, because I think it lets out a lot of that stress. It kind of re-energizes their body. It's, you know, it's not good for any of us to sit for an extended period of time. And I know as adults, a lot of us do that when we're working. How has standing and working at that desk changed or impacted you?
One thing that's really nice about this particular desk that I'm using, it's put out by a company called Ergotron. It's a stand-up desk. I can adjust it to the level that I want. It's a great working surface. I can take that desk and I can roll it 4 feet to the right, or I can roll it to the left, or I can roll it forward. And so it gives me the opportunity, rather than just standing in one place, you know, I have my books, my teaching guides there. I have everything in front of me, and I don't have to be stationary because it's not my way of doing things. And so it's nice to be able to have my teacher's guides as I'm moving and not having to then carry those around. So I really, and I think the students see me doing it, and I'm using that one sample desk that we got. And like I said, on a regular basis, they were asking the first week, and now if it's empty, somebody is going over to use it. They're getting it set up to their height so that it works for them. It's not a desk where I'm having to adjust the way I'm standing or the way I'm sitting. It's just a perfect fit. And that really is helping me out a lot.
That sounds really interesting. And it's nice that you're able to try some of these things, because I know one of the things that you've been doing is writing grants so that you, because there's a lot of money out there to help and support the students. So it's really nice that you've really taken advantage of that.
There's a lot of money out there to be had. I was dared the beginning of the year to write a grant for California Teachers Association Institute for Teaching, and that's teacher-driven change. So I wrote a grant, and I wrote the grant to include funding for 5Ks, to include funding for my running club, to pay for scanners, the software to help me for this year with the running club, and also getting involved in I wrote another grant that was Fuel Up to Play 60, which is allowing us to bring in two plays this year with Fuel Up to Play 60, and one is Dance, 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 and then the other one is Farm to School, which is allowing us to bring in the concept of the farm into the school, nutritious eating, bringing fruits and the vegetables. And one of the things I want to bring in at the end of the year is there's a group out there that brings in a farmer's market into the school, he talks about the superpowers, and then the students actually get farmer's bucks to purchase their fruits and vegetables and share their superpowers at home with their parents. So, and it's very unusual, I think, for from what I hear, to have teachers writing grants, at least in this area. Usually it's principals or districts. And so I am really enjoying it, and I've found out that the worst thing someone can tell me is no, and the best thing that can happen is I can be told that I've got $17,000 in money to put into my students. Win-win.
No, absolutely. We need to take a really short break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about that farmer's market and some of the things that you're doing to help educate the children on how to eat better and make healthier choices. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Tricia Schoenfeld, who is a teacher in the Coachella Valley in California, and she's been talking before the break about how she had an idea and how she started really educating her children on getting more exercise and eating healthy. And if you missed our conversation before the break, you absolutely want to go back and listen to it and listen to all the amazing things she's doing. I want to switch just a little bit, Tricia, and ask you, what are some of the things you've done to help the kids learn more about healthy eating? And before the break, you started talking about the farmer's market. So I'd love you to talk just a little bit more about that, because that I love that idea.
Well, one thing about our campus, and we are, I want to say 70, about a 70-year-old campus, we have on our site a bunch of unused brick planters. And we've talked for a little bit on trying to utilize those planters. So one thing we're doing this year is, you know, there's the old adage, if they grow it, they will eat it. And they've done a lot of changes in the cafeteria in terms of eating healthier and having to live by certain rules as far as the foods that they can serve. But we're in the process of turning those stationary planters into planters that are useful to the kids. Again, giving back to the school, giving back to the community, and teaching students how to start their own gardens. We're working with a group here in the Coachella Valley called the Scrap Gallery, and they're going to help us take those boxes and utilize recycled materials to get them going. We're also going to, again, looking for monies. I did find a local company that's willing to donate wood so that we can also build boxes for gardening, and we can use our local waste management company, and they will bring in compost and that, and really making our campus greener and healthier, and not only just growing things there, but allowing the students to then eat what they grow, and really utilizing the gardens to help teach them more how plants grow. You're bringing in the science, not only the plants, but the feeding your body and making your body healthier. So really using those gardens to teach and have fun at the same time.
I really like that, because you're really educating the kids, and I think the more they learn about different types of foods, it makes them so they're not foreign, because I'm making an assumption, but I would assume that a lot of the different fruits and vegetables that are out there, your children that you teach have not been exposed to.
I totally agree with that, and I have many times I will go through the cafeteria, and if I see a food that I'm you know, not sure how they're going to react to. A lot of times I'll grab the lunch and I will go eat with them. The other day they had a fruit, I think it was called a plumot, which I'm assuming is a plum and an apricot mix. A lot of times they grab the fruits and vegetables because they're required to, as far as the federal lunch program. But a lot of them will then either pass it off, give it to somebody else, and not eat it. And I really think we need to expose them to what these things are. And growing up, fruits and vegetables were not high on my list of favorites, but I did eat them, and I did enjoy them. So I'm really wanting our students to learn more about the different foods and understanding that the fruits and vegetables aren't going to hurt them. You know, they are going to help them, and they really do need to color their plate with the different colors and the fruits and the vegetables and the proteins and meats, not just what they know, but start exposing themselves to what they don't know.
Yeah. Is there any type of nutrition education in the curriculum that you teach your children?
We do have health curriculum. There are a couple of programs out there that I'm starting to introduce my school to, and the Dairy Council, California Dairy Council, puts out curriculum that can be used. It's about a two-week program which teaches the students to paint their plate colorful, to, you know, talking about what's healthy for them, what's not healthy for them, how to read labels. And there's a lot of other things that are involved in the health curriculum, but this is what goes along with the dietary component of it and what they put into their bodies and why it's good for them.
That's great that you're finding so many resources, and I love the fact that you've really reached out to your community, because what you're finding is that people really are willing to help.
That is true. And we are doing back to school night on Wednesday. And again, I'm looking for parents. I made a whole list of things we wanted this year, and I really want to garner that support. And being in the Coachella Valley and teaching with the community that I have, a lot of my parents are very knowledgeable in what they do. A lot of them, you know, are farm workers. A lot of them work in restaurants. A lot of them work in, you know, hotels doing different things and the jobs that they have. And I really want them to share with their kids and, again, make that connection that what their kids are doing right now, they can do with them. So not only are they learning with their students, but they're learning for themselves as well. And then the information that they learn, they can then pass on with their kids. You know, they can cook meals together, and they can be in the community garden together, and they can be on the running field together. And my parents, like I said, have a lot to offer, and they're great parents. Just need to make that connection with home and school.
Well, I love the way that you're making that connection, because I think oftentimes parents think there's really not anything they can do to help, or they don't know how to build those connections. And as you and I know, having those strong connections with family and with your parents and with your siblings really help make you a better adult. And the things you learn as a child are the things you take into adulthood and build those habits. And they can read. They can read recipes when they're in the kitchen. They can learn science, how foods combine together. They can do measurements when they're cutting, when they're measuring ingredients. So you've got math, science, language, and it really helps strengthen their school skills. I remember having a conversation with our youngest son, who's now an adult, when he didn't really like math. But once he learned that he could use math to figure out how to position his headlights for his car perfectly and use the math formula, then he was all in. So when he learned how he could use it to do something he loved, it really made a big difference. And I'd like to ask you if parents or other teachers, you know, want to get more information on starting a program like this or in helping their students, what would you tell them to get started? Because you had to learn all this on your own. How would you tell them to get started?
I really think you need to reach out and look what's out there in the community. When I started my running club, I did it with my students, and I wanted them to be able to get out and burn off energy. I found that there are so many resources out there to help you, and you really don't have to be on your own. I joined a group called the 100 Mile Club, which is based out of Corona, which is promoting students to run 100 miles a year. Great organization, and we're starting our third year. You know, Fuel Up to Play 60, there is funding out there. One of the things I'm getting this year is a blender to help my students make smoothies, and I'm going to have them make their own recipes. You know, really get them out moving. Look at the schools around you and find out what they're doing. Go online and look for grants. Lowe's has a grant that I'm getting ready to write where I can work on building our farm program and getting some reading and relaxation areas on campus for the kids. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to reach out to other people. Start small, go big, and really education is the key. If you give them the knowledge, they will take it and they will, no pun intended, they will run with it. And you may get overwhelmed, and if you do, just reach out for more help.
I love that, start small and go big. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of help out there, and a lot of people want to make a difference. So just ask for help. You don't have to do it all yourself. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about what you've done at your school?
I teach at Herbert Hoover Elementary School, and so we have Hoover Health and Wellness, fairly new Facebook page that I've got up and running. They can also email me if they'd like to get information on our running club or anything else out there that we're doing. They can email me at patricia.schoenfeld@desertsands.us. And we are looking, one of our goals this year is running 25,000 miles, which is around the planet Earth. And just keep your eyes out because we started small and we're going big.
I love that. And can you give them your email address one more time and spell your last name so they've got that?
patricia.schoenfeld@desertsands.us.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And I always ask my guests as we wrap up our conversation together, what one tip can you give the parents or teachers to help their children and their students start to live healthier in the next week? Just starting small and making a big difference. What one tip would you give them?
I would tell them to cook a meal with their students. You know, sit down, cook the meal, talk about it, sit down and eat it, and really look at what's on the plate, really look at what they're putting into their bodies, and just have conversations with your kids. Just talk to them, ask them about their day, ask them what they learned in school. Just spend time with them. And again, start small, and you'll end up going big, and you'll be teaching them things that will last them their entire life.
Well, I definitely agree with that, and that's a great tip for both parents and teachers to do, have a meal with your students. And I love the fact that you go sit with the students too sometimes and get them to see you eating the foods. This has been a great conversation. I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk and share this. And I'm excited to see what goes next.
Well, I was excited to be here, and I'm always excited to share what I'm doing and really getting out there and reaching the community, because I want what I'm doing at my school to reach out to other schools, to other cities, and across the country. So thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And we've had a great conversation today, having two experts, Camille Davis and Patricia Schoenfeld, talking about how they're making a difference in the health of our children and really educating our communities, our parents, our children on how they can get involved and getting healthier. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthy relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Let us know what you're doing in your community to make a difference in the health of your families and your children. And share what you loved about today's conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.